It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. Please, if you would turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 42. We're going to begin reading with the sixth verse of that chapter, Genesis chapter 42, verse 6. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We love to get right into the study of God's precious Word. It's just wonderful to open His book and enjoy His living Word. Genesis chapter 42, beginning to read with verse 6. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. And they said unto him, And we are all one man's sons, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved. Whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. He put them all together into ward 3 days. Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of our soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered and said, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them, and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laid their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money. For behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Whereby shall I know that ye are true men? Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic to the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. Now we're going to end with verse 35, and we're going to begin there next time. But please, let's begin now with prayer. Dear Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together today and enjoy this time. Please, dear Lord, that you'll guide and lead us through your word. We need your direction. We need your strength. We ask, dear Father, that you will show us each and every word and how it applies to our lives. And please, dear Lord, that you'll show us the way of salvation through these words, that you'll direct us to the cross of Calvary if we have not been there, that we will come there and we will trust in you as our personal Savior. And please, Lord, don't let that old devil deceive so many folks in thinking that they are saved when it's just in their head and it's not in their heart. Please, dear Lord, that they'll ask you into their heart for salvation. And it is a personal relationship, just like you can know about an awful lot of people, Father, in this world, and never have really met them, but you know about them. You know some history of them. You've maybe even heard their voice on the radio or on the television or something like that. But we don't know them personally. We've never been introduced to them. We don't know who they really are or what they really do. We just know a little bit about them. Well, a lot of people are that way with the Lord Jesus Christ. They know about him, but they don't know him personally. And when you invite him into your heart, dear Father, we know that that's when true salvation comes. Please, please have folks to hear, to listen, and to respond today as we study your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that you're with us today. Now let's begin with this wonderful study. We have the man Joseph here. He is down in Egypt. He has been through quite a little bit in his life. And as we have watched him from year to year, as he was favored by his father, beaten by his brethren, sold by his brethren, sold by some traders as they moved him down into Egypt. Then he found himself with Potiphar, the leader of the military. Then we find he ends up in prison, answers a dream from a baker and a butler, and we find him now back in Pharaoh's dwelling. He is the second in command. The scripture calls him here in verse 6 of chapter 42 of Genesis, calls him the governor over the land. Well, what has happened here, this famine, it was 7 years of plenty, if you'll remember, then 7 years of famine. So with the 7 years of plenty over, the 7 years of famine are well into the place, enough that the people are literally starving to death all over the world. And so now we find the plan that Joseph had put into place. Remember Pharaoh's dream? Pharaoh couldn't understand what the dream meant. Joseph answered that dream, but he said, it is not me. God is the one that has answered. And we know that Pharaoh has put Joseph into the place of position and power because of that, to do whatever he desired to do. And he did just that. He set out to store grain at every city. He took 20%, took a fifth, 20%, and he stored it at every city. And now that the famine has come, Pharaoh opens up his granaries and sells this grain to his people. And so what a wonderful plan that Joseph has put into place here. Pharaoh, of course, he's looking real good because of what he has done. His people are not dying of starvation. And also, it makes him kind of king over everything, because all the rest of the people in the lands, they have to come into Egypt to buy land. We find Joseph sending his sons into the land to go and buy corn. And we find that in the third verse of chapter 42. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, he stayed home. Now, if you'll remember the connection here, these brothers that are coming down now to see Joseph, they think that Joseph's dead. Jacob, these boys' dad and Joseph's dad, believe that Joseph is dead. Well, God had a plan for Joseph, and he continually served God. And as that plan was put into place, again, the ups and downs that I've told you about, Joseph stayed faithful unto the Lord, and now we find him in this position. Joseph's mother was Rachel, and so was Benjamin's. So when we read this now, and we find that Jacob, Joseph's dad, does not want to let Benjamin go, the reason is Rachel was his favorite. That's who he loved. He loved Rachel, and Rachel had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph, in Jacob's mind and eyes, is dead. He's gone. But Benjamin is still there, and he's not about to let Benjamin go. And so as we look at this now, we think that some of these boys are getting up into the age of about 50 years old. And so they're not just children anymore by any means. They're adults. Now, we are in the process now of in the beginning here, where they have come unto Joseph down in Egypt. They've come to buy land, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn. Among those that came, many across the world come into Egypt, all heard that there was corn to be bought. And so they loaded up their money, because you see, money's worth nothing. It has no value at all if there's nothing to buy. If we can't buy food, if we don't have water, it's nothing at all. It doesn't matter how much it you have. And so we find that they came down into the land, out of the land of Canaan, to buy. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren. He knew them, but they didn't know him. Now, as we look at what's taking place here, remember what really made the brothers angry at Joseph? Because Joseph had a dream. A dream way back when he was still at home. A dream when he still had the coat of many colors. A dream when he was still with in his father's house back in Canaan. He had a dream, and that dream was that all would bow down before him, and especially his brothers. They would come and they would bow down before him, and even his father and mother would bow down before him. And the first time, why, as we read this back in Genesis, it was Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11 that we read last time we were together. As we read that, we found that when Jacob heard this, he just kind of pondered those words. He kind of thought on those words. And the rest of them, they just thought it was an unbelievable statement. Couldn't believe it at all. And so now we find that it's coming to pass. And you'll find God's word always comes to pass. Whatever part of this book, this precious book, the Bible, whatever part of that you want to ignore, you're going to find that it was true. There's going to be a day that you're going to acknowledge that. Because the scripture is very clear that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, you can do whatever you want to do, ignoring it today. But there will be a time that you will believe. You will believe. But if you don't do it in this lifetime, the next lifetime, it's too late. Because you'll already be in the place of torment. What a terrible, terrible choice to make when you're hearing the truth right now. It came to pass. The brothers came down. There was Joseph. Joseph knew them, but they didn't know him. He spake roughly unto them. He said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they says, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." He knew exactly where they came from. He knew exactly who they were. And maybe for the first time, Joseph can see what's going on here. Up until this time, he may not have had the slightest idea how God was putting all this together. But all of a sudden, when here came his brothers and they bowed down before him, he thought, "Oh Lord, you are a true God, a real God. Who would ever have believed that this was going to come to pass? But it did because you said it." And I'm sure in Joseph's mind, that's exactly what he was thinking about. And we find now, "From the land of Canaan to buy food," in the end of verse 7, "And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. And he said unto them, Are ye spies? To see the nakedness of the land ye are come?" You know, as the great family and the strength and people around quite an area, I believe, understood the prosperity of Jacob. And so now here comes these 10 men down together, and Joseph knew exactly who they were. But he wanted to play the game, so to speak, just a little bit. He didn't instantly tell them who he was. And the reason he didn't is because he wanted to know about his father and about his brother Benjamin. And this is the way that he's going to find it out. "And Joseph remembered the dream that he had dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come." And that's in the 10th verse. They have no idea who they're talking to. They had no idea that Joseph was alive, let alone the governor of Egypt. Could not imagine such a thing. And so we continue. "He said unto them, Nay, but ye to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren." We are the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. "And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." The one that is not is the one they're talking to, which is Joseph. The youngest that's back with their dad, with their father, is Benjamin. And so, and their point here is that how can we be spies? We're all brothers. We wouldn't do that if we were coming down into a land to spy a land out. We wouldn't send one family down here to do this. And that was their point. They're trying to prove that they're not spies. Joseph said to them, "That is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved. Whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies." And he put them all together into ward 3 days. His point here, he wants to see Benjamin. He has never been able to believe these boys from the start. They did tell him of a truth here. They told him, "There are 10 of us here. There are actually 12 total. He had 12 sons. 10 of them are here. One is not, and one's back home. Well, he felt pretty positive that Benjamin was alive, so he said, you send a man back, one man back. The rest of you stay here. I will put you in prison because I truly believe that you're spies. Now, he didn't. He knew exactly who they were, but that was his means of finding out about his father and his brother. Now, what has happened, though, these boys know that Dad's not going to let Benjamin go because he has concentrated so much and loved so much Benjamin because of the loss of Joseph. You see, that whole deal kind of backfired on these boys. They thought that they was going to get rid of Joseph, and then that way they could have Dad for themselves and no longer this favored son. But what it actually did, it turned the favoritism over to Benjamin stronger than ever. And he mourned Joseph so much that this deal didn't work at all. Boy, that was quite a plan they had, but it didn't work at all. But now they're really in trouble because they don't know how they're going to get Benjamin down there. Because Dad won't let him. Last time they were together, Joseph didn't come back. Listen to the rest of this. He put him in the ward for 3 days. Joseph said unto them the third day, so after 3 days, this do and live, for I fear God. Now look at that. That was a strange statement that I'm sure these people were not prepared to hear. Because all the time, Joseph is speaking like through an interpreter. And so he is speaking gruff and mean to them in a manner that they do not recognize Joseph at all. Joseph is not styled as those from Canaan. He is dressed in the finest clothing of Egypt. His hair, everything about him is an Egyptian. They don't have any thought that this man is not an Egyptian. Joseph's brothers concerning Joseph. But they find this statement, and I'm sure this was quite a statement when they heard this. This statement was, I fear God. Now look at that. What do you think that did to them? These boys never have paid a lot of attention to the fear of God. But we know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob offer sacrifices. They bow down to the true God. They build altars. All these things these boys have seen. And now this man in Egypt, governor of Egypt, says, I fear God. If you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison, and go ye carry the corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. He said first they were spies, now he adds what the judgment of a spy will be is death, and they did so. He started out, he said, I'll keep all of you here, one of you head back. I'll keep all, one of you head back. And so as the 3 days passed, Joseph decided, I will let all go back. I will just keep one. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come up on us. And Reuben tunes in here and says, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. All of a sudden, the guilt of what they have done to their brother comes to them. What they have done to Joseph. And again, they think Joseph is dead. Isn't it something how God can penetrate these boys' heart after all these years, can penetrate their heart and show them their guilt, show them their sin of what they have done. And Reuben says, you remember what I told you. I told you don't do this to Joseph. but you went ahead and did it. Now, that's the reason this is happening to us. Stop and think about what else is going on in Egypt. All the countries and all the lands are sending people down to buy. They're all getting their grain and handing in their money and going back home. These people that they come with, I'm sure, have already returned home. But instead of that, these 10 boys have been kept. And I'm sure they're very concerned about what's going to happen to their lives when those 3 days that they were in that jail, in that prison. And now the judgments come, the statements come. 9 of you will return, 1 stay. That's what they decided. That's what Joseph decided. And so they agreed. The problem is that as they visit over back and forth with each other of who is going to stay, who is going to be kept, as they visit back and forth, every time they're remembering Joseph. Every time they know the love that Jacob has. And so they're very much aware that they may not be able to come back down with Benjamin. So the one that stays may end up staying there as a slave and never be released. Probably thought when they were put into prison that they would be kept in Egypt as slaves. Isn't that something, how they sold Joseph into slavery, and now they themselves are facing the same thing, and they themselves remember what they have done and what's going on here? Well, it come to pass, and again, Reuben said, you know, do not sin against the child. I told you that, but you wouldn't listen. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. They knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Here they are, they're all visiting amongst themselves in their native tongue. They have no idea this thinking, this Egyptian, cannot understand what they're saying. Joseph can understand every word that they're saying. And so he knows what's going on here. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Now, I don't know whether they made a choice of Simeon, or Joseph kept Simeon. Now, we know that Joseph's not going to harm Simeon, but these other 9 boys sure don't, and Simeon sure doesn't. But we need to look at what's happening to Joseph here. Is Joseph doing this to hold a grudge? Is he doing this to bring judgment against these boys? Not at all. His heart is so broken over the years that he has lost with his brothers, with his father, with his mother, and especially with Benjamin. And he has missed all this. And as he is doing this, and he is hearing these boys talk about what they have done to Joseph, to him. As he's hearing that, it just breaks his heart, and he turns aside and in tears, because an Egyptian doesn't cry, a governor of the land doesn't cry before these foreigners that have come. He turns away and he wipes his cheeks and wipes the tears away and gets himself kind of composed again, and then he turns back before him, and he took then Simeon and bound him before their eyes. And then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them the provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. Now this was a little bit different, wasn't it? They come to buy this grain. Well, Joseph, in his kindness, he places all the money back in the bags. They hand the money over for the grain. And he doesn't just send them back to their father with nothing, because he knows that they're starving to death. He would not do that. And so he not only sent them home with grain, and within 3 days. It wasn't a long period of time, because he wasn't sure of the condition of the land. He could maybe even see how the brothers, how they were drawn because they were hungry. We don't know. But we know he sent them back with all the grain and even with enough grain to take them home. And then he put the money back in the bags with them. You know, isn't it exciting as we look to the Word of God and study this? I hope that you can see how God is in control. And I hope that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ today for salvation. Please come and have that personal relationship. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?